Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of Supercoach Edge. And of course, another edition of Damo's Team Talk. This time coming out of round five. And I don't know how to describe round five. It was an absolute shit show, really, for one all. If you were in the minority to escape most of the carnage, I have no idea how. But this round wasn't the best. But I was lucky enough to at least come through unscathed. Heading across to the next screen, as you can see here, ended up scoring a 2007, so I was around about par or just above par, as you can see here, because my ranking ended up rising 354 spots to now sit ranked 2,203 overall. Very, very happy with that. Obviously, wasn't cutting my rank in half like I had been doing the previous 3 weeks consecutively, but happy enough with that considering it was a very, very tough week. Now, before we get into things, of course, just a bit of a housekeeping check-in, as we always do. Want to thank you again for those people who have got behind us and supported us by subscribing to our channel. As you can see here, I think for the past 3 weeks we've gone from around about 65% down to, it was around about 58%, to now be 54% non-subscribers that are watching our content. And the subscriber number is jumping up in turn, of course. So if you are tuning in and you haven't yet subscribed, consider doing so. That'd be absolutely awesome. We'll give you, as I said last time, a kiss on both cheeks, I guess, as a show of thanks, like a godfather. Not the kiss of death.
I know it was you, Fredo.
As I said, if you can get behind us, if you haven't already, that would be absolutely fantastic. Now, before we jump straight across, let me just show you as well our podcast and the podcast side of things. And again, thank you for those people who have given us a rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. As you can see here, our ratings are now 48. So if you can help us by, if you listen to us via audio podcast, which I think the vast majority of our audience does, all you need to do is go into your Spotify app on your phone, Android, Apple, and just give us a rating. That'd be fantastic. Consider giving us the full, I was going to say five, that's six, idiot. give us the 5 stars, we'll give you a kiss on both cheeks yet again. But thank you yet again. So let's jump across to our team and see how we went. So I ended up winning 11 out of my 12 league matchups, which again was surprising considering it was an awfully tough week. Best 18, of course. So as you can see here, and it was by. So I had to, bench Dacos. It was his turn to sit back and sip endless pina coladas. I don't know why I say pina coladas, but it's just one that comes to mind. Probably not his drink of choice. But anyway, he was forced to drink pina coladas on the sidelines and watch likewise with Heaney, albeit Heaney I brought on field because he was my El Capitano, because this guy here, Maxi Gorn, who again is proving week after week now that he's Perhaps his full name is Maxi Gorn because he's getting in these scores that are Maxi-like, Maxi tons. So he ended up scoring a 138 with the VC first up. And I'm glad I did because my other option initially that I was thinking of was going VC on Bond, who, as you can see here, ended up scoring a 73, into a green captaincy if Bond didn't score well, who scored a 72. And that was virtually just the sort of week that we had where it was just shit scores galore, which is pretty catchy. I might name this episode over that after that. But just rolling through my team in full. So that was the big positive to come out of the week. But Sheasel, I guess he was the other major positive. 159, and just again strength to strength. This bloke, he is incredible. Tom Stewart, 108. Yeah, is what it is. Not too bad thereabouts. He's kind of been around about that mark. Wangan and Miller, 93, losing some points now off the back of that trade that I did by trading Hayden Young to Wangan and Miller, but is what it is, and it afforded me the extra coin to bring in these other guys like Steele, who I ended up bringing in this week, who I won't talk about just yet, but safe to say he's probably my best trade-in thus far for the season, and I spoke enough about his value this time last week when I was going through my team talk video and in our episode proper with Liam. And yeah, he was just incredible. But just to round out the defense, we had D'Ambrosio with a 94, and there's a few people that actually traded him, and I thought that was a little bit surprising. But speaking of surprising, I was blown away by his 94. Wasn't expecting that in the slightest, so was good to see. Faces North Melbourne this coming round as well, so hopefully gets a bit of a softer matchup, which means that he hopefully can score just as well. But he went up in price to the tune of 20.9K to now having gone up in total 112K overall. So he has passed the coveted 100K profit margin, I guess we'll call it. So yeah, he's definitely helped us out there. Zach Williams likewise as well with a 92. So both of these guys really burst from the blocks. Williams went up another 39.6K to now sit just a touch under 100K at 99.3K, having gone up that value overall. And his break-even now is a 6. And likewise, D'Ambrosio, his break-even, actually it's a little bit higher, 34. But both those guys should hopefully make us a little bit more coin and push towards that 150K mark that we like to reach. This guy here, the Hills Hoist, as we're calling him now, the clothesline, Closey from Gold Coast, the popular trade-in option off the back of one game. And did he ever prove that on the weekend as to why people were doing that? Because he ended up scoring 124, and yeah, I mean, he scored a 108 on debut, but to go one better, incredible. Bottom price rookie, and would you believe it, you'll see here if you're watching us on YouTube, but his break even going into his third game is negative 174 with a projected price change of 105.9K. And that's just if he scores a 57, according to Supercoach Plus. So again, if you don't have this guy on your team, what are you doing? 44% of the competition already brought him in, which again underlines how valuable this guy is. Arguably the cash cow of the season at the moment already. And he hasn't even gone up in price yet. So incredible. So jump on him if you haven't got him. Next up, before I jump into the next thing, let's just have a look quickly. So he's projected to make, if he scores 57 over the next two games, he'll go up nearly 160K in 2 weeks, which I think I saw on Twitter is going to almost smash the record, which I think was set by Goulden. I think Goulden did potentially. And then obviously prior to that would have been Michael Barlow. So yeah, he's just a cash cow. You've got to get on him, and you've got to have him in team. Enough said, really. Dacos, as I said, he was on the bench with the bye. Zach Reed not doing too much with out through injury. Then jumping across to the midfielders. So Bontempelli, 73. For those people who don't have him, he's going to go down in price. His break-even is 164, but with a projected score of 136, he's still going to go down 12.7K. Like we saw this last year that he had a bit of an off game, went down a little bit in cash, and is what it is. If you don't have him, it's favourable to you, obviously. And likewise for those people that don't have Tom Green, as I said, he scored a 72. Went down 27.4K. Was a little bit surprising. I just thought he might have bounced back nicely off the back of his 109 game, which is slightly down, but obviously this is his lowest score thus far for the season. Projected to potentially go down another 23.5K if he can score 130 against my mob in Carlton. So he has a break even of 181. So again, these primos, a lot of primos, especially in the midfield, are putting stinkers this round, and off the back of that, in around about 2 to 3 weeks' time, they're going to be ripe for the picking. So for those non-Tom Green and non-Bont owners, you're going to be licking your lips, no doubt. Now, to this guy who I spoke of earlier, Jack Steele, spoke enough about it last week. He is by far and away performing like he did back when he was a top eight average midfielder in 2020 and 2021, and he's proving this even more so this year. He is the third highest ranked mid thus far in 22% of teams. And glad to see that a lot of people jumped behind him as well. His ownership went up 4.1%. And now he's had back-to-back games of 142 and 143. And his break-even now is at 70. And if he scores a projected 130, he's going to go up 27.6K. And as I spoke of last week, prior to him going up, which he went up 34.8K this round, he was averaging as much as Butters and Sarong. And he was, you know, around about 50 to 60K cheaper. And he's almost the same price as those guys now because they dropped in price. So, yeah, get on him if you haven't. I think he's shown enough now to really be reliable. He scored 119, 120, 126, 142, and 143. So, enough said, really. Get him in your team. Tookie Miller, again, he impressed with the 133. I think he bounced back from the previous week, yes, when he scored an 89. So good to see him bounce back and eclipse that highest break even that he did have. Break even now is 109, and he went up, 3.7K. So in 24% of teams, and again, he is the 11th highest averaging midfielder at the moment. And I do think he will finish as a top eight midfielder. Has Sydney this coming round, but then he faces West Coast, Brisbane, and then North Melbourne. So a bit of an up and down fixture, but I think there is signs there for him to really burst out of the blocks. So this is the time to get on him. Nick Martin, a lot of people jumped back on him or jumped on him for the first time if you weren't a previous owner that traded him out early days. But his ownership went up, 3.4%. Ended up scoring 100. So a little bit down on production compared to the previous 2 weeks of 136 and 133. Has a break even 87, went up 30.3K. So I think a lot of people jumped on him because of the fact that he was about to catapult in price. And as we know, just a reminder off the back of round six, DPP changes will be coming in, and Nick Martin is guaranteed to get that defensive midfielder DPP switch, which will come in handy because we will be able to put him back and then potentially, you know, use that DPP swing with a D'Ambrosio or a Williams via a trade to springboard to another genuine keeper. So looking forward to that. Matt Roberts had the bye and ended up using him as a bit of a loophole. Didn't really need to use it anyway. Had Sharp with the emergency. Originally had Carroll as the emergency, with him being named as a starting sub, switched things up and just did it more as an insurance thing with Sharp in case he ended up, scoring low or getting injured or, you know, whatever. Rolly Sanders. Now, this bloke here, it's not his fault. It's his dumbass coach, Bevo, and we are at the point now where we're counting down the weeks until he gets the sack, which we're going to say 19 rounds, and we're going to give him a stay of execution because maybe he turns the season around for the Dogs, but the way things are looking at the moment and the way that he's treating his players is just utterly ridiculous, is Bevo. So again, Sanders was subbed the second time in 5 games, and he was visibly annoyed on the bench, and I really don't blame him because at that point in the game, yes, I know there were some people saying that he didn't have as many disposals as what he probably should have, but look at this here, like in terms of his tackles, like it wasn't just on the weekend, like he had 5 tackles up to that point, which I was comparing it to the rest of his Bulldogs teammates. He was by far and away the best tackling player, even watching the game, pressure that he was applying. When he went off, where was the pressure coming from? Nowhere. Essendon just went about their merry way and had their easy way with the Dogs. But previous weeks, like he's had tackles of 6, 6, 5. And like, He's got that ability to run all day and just back him in, really. It's the equivalent of like West Coast potentially subbing Reed. Really, it's ridiculous. But Bebo, pull your head in, mate, and can't wait until you get the sack. McKercher, now he was very unfortunate. The two first rounders from the recent draft, McKercher and Sanders, had a bit of a down game, but obviously a different reason for McKercher here. Only scored a six. Got cannoned into by, I think it was Jesse Cameron, and hurt his ribs. Haven't heard an update as yet as when I record this little episode, but only scored the six. Obviously, his break even now catapults up to a 101, and his price, even more annoyingly, went down 16.6K off the back of that score of six. So, you know, I think it's kind of looking that way where his scoring was a bit down anyway over the previous couple of weeks, and was, you know, being put in the midfield and stuff, and it was really throwing out his scoring ability. So for me, I think he's going to be in the firing line. I think he will be for quite a number of people, and totally understandable. Lost money, in line to lose more money again with a break even of 101 coming up against the Hawks, and we don't even know what the damage is to McKercher's ribs. Hopefully, for his sake, he is okay. But I think, yeah, Supercoach wise, it's probably a good time to move him on. Jeremy Sharp, 54, spoke of him. He was my score that I looped on with Roberts. Carroll was a sub, annoyingly again, because his cash making ability has probably hit a wall now, or at least slowing up, off the back of being a sub. Went up 11.9K, has gone up overall 118.4K, so has done his job. And yeah, with Walsh back in the team, it means there's kind of less opportunity there for him, apart from, you know, sort of relief rotations and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, is what it is with Jackie Carroll. Jai Clark, again, another youngster that was the starting sub, only scored a two. Dropped in price, believe it or not, 3.7K, and now has a break even of 74. Heading into round six, and his scoring has been down. I mean, he scored a 28 against the Dogs. I think he was sub there again. And it's the one thing that's really an annoying aspect of 2024 is that all these cash cows, which were looking good early on, and especially in the preseason, are now being fucked over by their coach, really. So, yeah, he's got a 74 break even. You could probably hold him if you want to. But again, Chris Scott, he's virtually the he's the up there in terms of Bevo speak, but not quite as bad as Bevo. I won't disrespect him that much. Maxi Gawn spoke of him, 138, incredible. Luke Jackson, 72, down in production as well. Wasn't the best output against Port, especially considering that previous ruckman, opposition ruckman, have scored well against Soldo. Obviously, Gawn did, and there was another ruckman as well that did in recent times, but wasn't able to get on top of or make the most of the scoring opportunities against Port in a tight game. So yeah, especially without Darcy, now faces West Coast in round six. Darcy may come back, especially considering it is a home game, so I'm fully expecting that against sort of paltry opposition. I'm still expecting him to sort of, you know, I guess balance 50-50 split with Hodor Darcy in the ruck. But yeah, I think with me anyway, I was initially going to use him to springboard to an English, who of course I'll speak of a little bit later, who has dropped more in price, another primo that scored shit. But I think I'm going to use Jackson, or at least, you know, leave Jackson in the forward line, because it looks as though at this stage there's dire straits. It's looking pretty dire in terms of the number of quality options we have in the forward line. So yeah, we'll speak about that more when we get to that point. Isaac Heaney spoke of him. He was my captaincy loophole. So again, did a job even though he was on his bye. He's just working overtime. This bloke, absolute gun. Sammy Flanders, 116. Happy with that. Tom Powell started slowly but ended up scoring quite nicely with a 98. And his break-even is 71. So ended up going up 13.4K in price, Tommy Powell, and now has eclipsed the 112.8K profit total. Now, this bloke here, Harley Reid, he's going from strength to strength. So if you're one of the people who traded him out early, You're going to be kicking yourself here, which surprisingly, there's only, 2%, 3% people that have done it. So good to see people have held the faith. This guy is an absolute gun. Already virtually West Coast's best midfielder for his age. And yeah, incredible. Has a break even now of negative 18 with a projected price change of 44.5K. If he can score his average at the moment, which is 79, just rounding that up. So yeah, he's going to make us a fair bit of coin. Already gone up 111.4K, so done his job already. But ride those highs, and it's those on-field scores that we are really, really grateful for more than anything. Ollie Dempsey started slow again, but he kind of came on towards the end. Ended with a 56 and went up 32.6K, and now has gone up a total of 149.6K. So well and truly done his job. Yeah, he's going well, and he's scoring well enough, I think, as well. So for those of you that have him, keep hold of him, because I reckon there's going to be a few more spike games, considering that he has scored above 80 in three of his five games. So yeah, he's someone that's super valuable. Cadman, he's kind of done his job now, I reckon. He scored a 64, and he went up 30.9K. to have gone up in total 143.8K. So has a break even, 40, faces Carlton this weekend. Might be an on-demand defense because Sard and McGovern apparently did hammies. So yeah, you could hold him for maybe another week or two and assess from there. But yeah, he's virtually at the stage now where he's ripe for the picking if you wanted to punt him. But hopefully he can produce a nice score or two yet to come. Sam Darcy went up 47.6K off the back of a score of 82. Now has a break even of negative 23 and should go up another 40K or thereabouts. So really done his job already. He's already gone up 128.4K in 2 weeks. And we spoke about this when we got him. So yeah, it's incredible to see that he's done it already. Could be pushing towards that 200K mark, believe it or not, in a couple of weeks. So yeah, he's going from strength to strength, and it's that on-field scoring, which is going to be very, very valuable, which I used, obviously, with Heaney as my loop to loop his score on. Looking at his score first up, having played first up. And then rounding us out is the score from Darcy Wilson, a 61. Again, good boy, because he re-energized his cash generation. Went up 17.3K. and has gone up 73.5K in total with a negative 3 break-even heading in to round 6. So, yeah, should go up another 30K potentially next week if he can score what he's averaging at the moment, which is 54. So, yeah, he's going to be another guy that is going to help a springboard to another primo. Which, speaking of which, let's get into our trades this week. Actually, first, before we do that, for those people who didn't know the trades that I made, you can see them here if you're watching us on YouTube. So it was Grundy out for Steele. So I did end up doing some DPP, ended up switching Luke Jackson from the forward line into the R2 position, which is where Grundy was, and ended up bringing in Steele. And I think I switched Wilson from the midfield into the forward line in order to do that. And then Howes, obviously, I traded to Closey, the Hills Hoist as well, which gave me that extra coin to put towards that upgrade. So very, very happy with that. So let's go into this week's trades. First and foremost, let's optimize this episode quickly and just cross-check to make sure everything is all good, because sometimes the optimization button does us dirty. So again, see, it's put two emergencies in the forward line, so you've got to watch out for this. But yeah, let's have a quick look. So Gorn's obviously on the bye this week. And that's the only one that we've got on the bye, thankfully. So we've got a full array of team here. But as you can see here in defense, I'm quite stacked, because now with Dacos coming back in, we've got Sheasel, Stewart, Dacos, Wangan, and Miller. And then we've got Ambrosio, Closey, and Williams. All three of those guys at the back end there have been scoring well enough. Reed would be handy this round if he wasn't playing in the second game. So I can't really use him to, I guess, use him as a loophole. But what I think we will do, I'd much prefer to have all three of those guys, and Williams, Closey, and Ambrosio, scoring on field. So what we're going to be doing is switching Dacos into our midfield. Because as you can see at the moment, we've you know, it's kind of, it's gone from one end of the spectrum to the other, because previously it was like Sanders, McKercher, Sharp. They were very, very reliable scorers on field. Now it looks as though Sanders is being stuffed over by Bevo, getting subbed left, right, and center. McKercher, again, injured. We don't know about his role as well off the back. We don't have any clarity because he was playing in the midfield in round four. We kind of need a little bit more, I guess, insurance when it comes to some nice scores in the midfield. So that'll kind of form the crux of our, what we're thinking to do in terms of our team structure. So obviously brought in Closey. The other guy to bring in this week, if I scroll down to the most traded in, no surprises here, Will Graham, negative 91. So both of these Gold Coast boys, incredible. Will go up to the tune of, if you can score 44, will go up 62.2K, but could make easily, I reckon he will, quite easily actually, 100K over the next 2 weeks. So get this guy in your team. Super, super valuable as well. The fact that Graham has a defensive midfielder DPP attached to him. So it just works perfectly for us with what I was saying in terms of trying to get Dacos into our midfield for the short.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Term. So the question now comes, who do we trade out? So I think McKercher, he's 25.9% of trades at the moment, and no surprise there. I think he's kind of hit his wall. Would love to keep him, but at this stage, he's done his job. He's already gone up. What's he gone up? I think he's gone up around about, what did I say? I think it was 100K or thereabouts. No, not even 80K. So he did actually nearly go up 100K prior to his price loss on the weekend, but he's done his job, I think. You could hold of him, could keep hold of him if you want to, but with me, he's going to serve his job here, and you'll soon find out why. So bringing in Graham off the back of McKercher, that will give me an extra, 165K, loosely thereabouts. So that's a lot of coin to really help us bring in a genuine primo. So that is the first trade. So we'll go ahead and complete that trade. And the next trade, so that was obviously always going to be the guaranteed trade. From here, it's kind of working out. Okay, we've got 306K in the bank. We could potentially go straight to a primo via a D'Ambrosio potentially. We could, you know, if we really wanted to cut ties with him, I could, you know, put Graham in defense, play Williams or Graham, and upgrade D'Ambrosio to a primo, whether it be in defense or in the midfield. The other thing I'm thinking of is using two more trades, and it would be in the form of one of those would be an upgrade to bring a primo in. The other one will be to bring in a rookie, which would be a rookie early. When I'm looking at it in terms of guys to upgrade, I think it would be Sanders. Like I said, he's being done over by Bevo. I think he probably could afford to keep Sanders over McKercher. Sanders, his break-even's only 49, so he could easily eclipse that. But again, he's already made the 100K that we're looking for. It's kind of the minimum for all rookies. 150K is like chef's kiss. But yeah, I think he's kind of served his purpose there as well. And if it's going to get me to a genuine primo keeper, I think it's warranted in punting him. Actually, I want to see how many people got rid of him last week. Actually, not many. Not many at all. His ownership's actually been pretty consistent. Was 74.9% when it started the season. Has dropped down to 73.3%. So I expect to see that drop. He is the among the top five traded out players at the moment. So I think that will rise. Or at least his ownership will drop. But I think among these other rookies that I've got already that have kind of hit a wall, Carroll is one. You could keep him again. But like I said, he's done his job here. He's gone up 118.4K. Clark is another guy that I could potentially get rid of, but he's only made 59.1K. And I don't really like... I mean, it's happened, what, twice already now? Sexton and then with Berry, where I've kind of punted those guys prematurely. Everyone had to do it with Sexton, but I didn't really need to with Berry. I took the risk there. Did help me in the short term get about 50K to put towards upgrades that I have done thus far, like Steel. But, you know, I think when you look at it in terms of, okay, well, do I keep Clark and hope that he can turn his cash generation around, which is doable. I mean, he's obviously got that two in his price cycle now. It's not ideal. But all he needs is a spike game, which can happen. And it just negates that two that he's got in his price cycle. That only lasts for 2 weeks as well. Keep that in mind. But I do think that there is a chance that he can turn around his season when it comes to being a cash generator. And if I was to punt Clark for, say, Graham, for example, that will only actually give me a 66K difference or profit. So it's not really worth it. Whereas if I was trading someone like a Carroll down to a Graham, that's going to give me, you know, 120, nearly 130K or thereabouts. So you can really see the difference there. And that difference in price, or the difference in profit that you're getting from both either of those guys is pretty stark, because, you know, it's going to help you get in a bigger primo with if you're trading at a Carroll compared to if you're punting a Clark for, you know, virtually half the difference in profit there. So with that, I'm going to be punting Carroll. Wilson still has money to make, as you can see here. Darcy speaks for itself. Cadman is probably one you could get rid of as well if you wanted to instead. But I do like Cadman with a bit of a spike game compared to a Carroll, who, like I said, with Walsh back in the team, his opportunities are going to be declining. Outside of that, there aren't really any other guys that I want to punt as yet. D'Ambrosio, I'm kind of semi-confident that he can have a nice game. If he wasn't facing North Melbourne, I'd probably think the opposite. But, you know, with D'Ambrosio, I could potentially, with the coin that I've got, only use one trade to bring in a genuine keeper in, say, a Sarong or a Butters or a Ryan, if I wanted to do that. But again, that would mean... I don't know. Like, it's... I'm kind of in two minds here, because D'Ambrosio, I think, still will make a little bit of money. It does mean I use one less trade. But as you can see here, if he can keep up this scoring... And it's a big if, of course, because, you know... But, you know, having said that, he's had scores over 87 plus in three of his five games. So there is more likelihood of it happening than not, considering that. But if he can, you know, score 70, 80 odd, he could go up another 20 odd K. And then after that, could go up another 30 K if he can score well enough. But, you know, by the same token, he's already made us 112 K. But yeah, when we're thinking about squeezing as much money out of rookies, especially to sort of outweigh those rookies that we've punted a little bit earlier because they haven't reached 100K, like a McKercher, they make up the difference, those guys, like a D'Ambrosio, that could really make a bit more coin. So my thought here, in a roundabout way, so I just had to talk through that, is trading Carroll to a rookie. So there are a couple of rookies on the horizon, less than three matches here, and we will sort it by price. So one of them is Kane McAuliffe. Now, he is on the buy this week. I'm a big fan of him, and I think without Taranto being in the team, there is an opportunity there for him to stay in the side. Finally got his opportunity, highly rated youngster, but was the I think it was a starting sub in his first game, only scored the 16, and then a 58 in round 5. So there is him. The other guy that I'm looking at, and again, I'm not an advocate for going early. I know we did with Closey, but it is fraught with danger. And it's a little bit of a risk, but it's a guy that impressed us over the preseason. And it is, let me just, he goes by the name of Biggie, really. Big Nguyen. He's not going to come up because he's played. Sorry, he is in the forward line. So in order to do this, I would need to switch a Wilson back from the forward line into the midfield. And then that allows me to trade Carroll to a Bigoa Nguyen, or Biggie Nguyen, as we'll call him. Scored an 89 this round, first up. Looked incredible. And the thing is with him, he's got... and he's got like that athletic leap about him. He's kind of like a... Alirelia, he's the other guy, MacAndrew, as well as another guy in defense who's just absolutely athletically gifted and an absolute incredible player. But Nguyen as well, like he impressed in the preseason. This round he had 14 kicks, 5 hands, so 19 disposals, 7 marks, 2 tackles, 2 free kick fours. So he's looking really, really good. Negative 41 break even. If he can score, you know, anything near what he scored in his first game, he could go up around about 60K first up and make us a cool 100K in his first 2 to 3 games. So a bit of a risk, yes or no, but he does face Hawthorn this round. And, you know, he was brought in from Richmond and bided his time in the VFL. And I think he's done enough of an apprenticeship to really stamp himself at senior level. The other guy that I am thinking of going for and... is he in there in terms of, yes, yeah, trade-in option, is Charlie Combin in defense. I don't know about this. Just because he is priced at the higher price point of 227.1K, it does mean that, for example, if I'm trading Carroll to Combin, it literally gives me 15K, 15.2K profit. Compare that to if I'm trading Carroll down to Nguyen, to Biggie, and that'll give me 121K or thereabouts, roughly. So obviously a big difference there. And in terms of when we're talking about output, you know, I think Combin really, he's not going to be on field for me. I don't really know if I need him on field. If he is able to score what he's been scoring, fair enough. He could make, you know, some nice coin. But with me, Combin, so he scored the 129 first up. That actually goes out of his price cycle after this coming round. So if he ends up scoring another 75 like he did in round 5, sure, he may go up, you know, 60, 70K. But after that, if his scoring declines, he could, yes, be a bit of a jump across the 100K threshold. But again, when you're trading for when you're trading down, you want to be making as much coin as what you will be in, you know, jumping on the player and then riding their cash rise before you punt them. Because otherwise, trading Carroll to Combin is virtually a sideways trade. It doesn't give me anything. It doesn't give me the cash first from up front to allow me to fund other upgrades. So I see it as a little bit of a waste and you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. Other people may think differently and that's totally fine. But again, I like to jump into, and a lot of people say it, like the trading cadence where you're trading down, you're getting cash, you're jumping on a rookie that's about to go up. Once they hit their peak, you trade down to a bottom price rookie, you get their cash and so on and so forth. So that's kind of the rhythm that we want to get into. And we'd need to do it by going early on a rookie that has only played the one game or potentially two games in McAuliffe's case, who's going into his bye. So Biggie Nguyen is probably the one for me. So if I was to bring him into my team, the other guy is, what's he called? He played last year, another North player. And there's a lot of these rookies coming out of North Melbourne. Let me find him. Durden, is it, potentially? Drury, sorry. He scored a 78 this round. Yeah, I don't know. Like, he was dropped last year as well. So... Don't know if he's going to have that job security, albeit Nguyen, but you know, there's jobs up for grabs, I think, in defense. And Nguyen looked really, really good, really composed, and was impressed with him. So I will look to bring him into my team, I think, for the moment. So we'll complete that trade. It gives us 424.4K in the kit. A lot of money, obviously. But going this route obviously means that I have to use a boost if I wanted to get in a primo, which I obviously do. So we'll activate that boost and we'll put it on the head of Sanders. And if we trade him out, we have 735K on the dot to play with. So let's switch things up to the average here. And we could potentially, you know, as I said, switch Dacos into the middle and target someone like a Luke Ryan, Elliot Yeo. I don't want to go there. Dan Houston. Again, he kind of hasn't hit his peak, but like I was saying earlier, I've got enough quality in defense with D'Ambrosio, Closey, and Williams sort of manning the fort outside of those keepers. So not a fan of going for a defender. I mean, Hayden Young's another one as well. Could potentially bring him back into my team and swallow my pride. But I think the midfield is kind of where it's at. As I said, like without McKercher there, without Sanders there, and without those guys being as reliable as what they have been, leading up to like the round just gone, we kind of need some security in the engine room. So I could potentially go for my boy Sammy Walsh. Looked absolutely insane, like a 166 bias aside. I was at the game. I was blown away. This bloke, incredible. He's a pleasure to watch, but also just 166 just underlines his impact on the game. Ended up having, 34 disposals, 2 marks, 13 tackles, and 2 free kicks for. So, yeah, he was really, really good. Matty Rowell, again, another big game, 135. Going from strength to strength. Yeah, big part of his game, obviously, the tackling. Only had 21 disposals, but still 135. So that's really good to see. I don't know if I need or I want to go necessarily at this stage for another Gold Coast player. And I think he's kind of hit his peak with his price at the moment. So we'll probably wait for him to drop in price more than anything. But I think the two guys that I'm looking at ever so closely are Sarong and Butters. Sarong went down 18.8K, courtesy of that down game the week prior against my mob with a 94. And has shown that he's got some relatively high floor, which is really good, but also a massive ceiling. 170, 141, 125. And then he's had that 94 and a 110. So has dropped, even though he went up 36.7K in his first price rise. He's now dropped. What's that, 26, 25K or thereabouts, 26K over the past couple of weeks. So almost undid all of that price rise that he had, where a lot of people jumped on him. There was 10% of the competition almost jumped on him before he rose in price. So I know I'll be getting him 11K or thereabouts, more expensive than in starting price, but you kind of pay for what you get. And I think it looks as though at this stage he's going to be a top 8 midfielder and an absolute keeper. And at that ownership number, that's kind of, you know, you don't want to be left out when he has those massive scores. The other thing to look at is obviously his fixture as well. Faces West Coast, the Bulldogs, and Richmond. West Coast and Richmond obviously struggling. Both of those teams faced off this weekend, and West Coast did a number on Richmond. But then they have the Western Bulldogs as well, who, you know, back to the wall, they need to respond. But yeah, that's, you know, 2 of the next 3 games are at Optus Stadium. So, going to work very well in his favour, you would think, having scored the 170 and 125 in both the home games for Freo thus far. Does have a break even at 155, so could potentially drop in price a little bit more. But facing West Coast, we are hoping for a massive game. Looking at Butters ever so quickly, and went down 12.4K in total. And he's been scoring quite well as well. 117, 175, 98, 119, and 130. His fixture is a little bit harder, a little bit up and down, really. Because, yeah, it's Collingwood, St Kilda, Adelaide, Geelong, and then he has Hawthorn and North. So, yeah, thereabouts. Both of these guys are very, very similar, I think, anyway. in Butters and Sarongi. You kind of need either, you need both in your team really at some stage or another. So it's a bit of a flip of a coin, but I think when we're talking about getting an edge, it's probably due to the fixture, and I am more keen to get Sarong in off the back of that. Zach Merritt is another guy as well. Like, his fixture, speaking of fixtures, is going to be absolutely incredible. He has two more games coming up against West Coast, and a game up against North as well. Has looked really, really good. The weekend was his sort of first down game. Had his first four games, 131 plus, but had 108 on the weekend against the Dogs. So you could probably wait for him if you wanted to drop in price. Don't know if he will. He's going to break even at 135. But I think both of these two guys in Butters and Sarong, you can't go too wrong. Outside of that, like, there's obviously Rosie, but I don't know if he's going to be a top eight scorer. Has been thereabouts, up and down, but yeah. Doesn't really appeal. Goulden's probably the only other one that I'd be looking at. 607.2k, has gone down 14.9k overall, coming off his bye, obviously. But had a couple of low games, 77 in round zero, then a 73 against the Tigs. But outside of that, he scored 109, 149, and a 129. So again, I love me some Errol, as does Liam, of course, if you're a regular tuner in of our podcast and vodcast. But yeah, outside of that, I think that's pretty much it. So yeah, it's going to come down to these three guys here, Walsh, Sarong, or Butters. And I think I'll probably go with Sarong. If I go with him, it leaves me with 102.8K. The sliding doors as well is that if I go for Sammy Walsh, it leaves me with another 50K thereabouts in the kit. So that's obviously going to help me springboard to another primo with my next upgrade. Do I want to go down that route? Am I confident that Walsh is going to be a top eight average player in the midfield? I think he definitely can be, but I don't know. I'll have to assess things. And I think at that current price point with Sarong, you know, I think he's probably going to loiter around about that mark anyway for the rest of the season. So what you're getting him for now is probably considered, you know, a little bit of a bargain maybe, based upon the fact that he could go up further in price. But yeah, we'll stick with Sarong for the time being. As I said, leaves us with 102.8K. We'll complete that trade, lock it in. Thank you for your service, Sanders and McKercher. They go out, and we have 102.8K in the bank. And let's just adjust some things here, as you can see. So Dacos will go into the middle via Graham, who is obviously our new recruit, Will Graham. I'm going to put Graham on the bench and play Williams. So there's that. Dacos comes on field, obviously, in the midfield. And as you can see here, the midfield is obviously looking very, very strong. Bont, Green, Sarong, Steele, Miller, Dacos, Martin, Roberts. So yeah, it leaves us with a very, very nice, I guess, engine room at present, with keeping in mind that Martin and Roberts will go back into defense. And I will be using Williams and D'Ambrosio to upgrade to genuine primo keepers, you know, of the ilk of a Petrarca, Walsh, those sort of guys, Butters as well. So yeah, that's virtually where we're at. But if you think of it in terms of the ins this week compared to the outs, virtually we've got Dacos in on field, and we have Sarong on field. Out goes Sanders and McKercher. So yeah, some big, big difference in numbers and output there. So fingers crossed everything works out. But in terms of, there aren't really any guys that I can use as loopholes, because as I said, Zach Reed for Essendon plays the second game. But I'll back in D'Ambrosio, Williams and Closey, as a lot of people will be doing who own them already. So let's roll now into our VC and C options, then we'll wrap things up. So we will have a look quickly at Supercoach Plus. Bont plays first up against the Saints. Obviously, the Dogs need to respond, and respond they must, because they're under the pump at the moment. So let's have a quick look at DFS Australia and just have a look at any, matchup exploitations that we could have. So the Dogs up against the Saints. The Saints don't really give any points to opposition mids. Who else is there? Steele, against the Dogs. So the Dogs, do they give up? The West Bulldogs don't really. This might be a tough week, actually, for trying to work out who the VC and the C is. Tom Green against Carlton. I think he traditionally scores well against my mob. He did 145 the last game he played against us. 175, and he's two prior to that. You can never keep a good man down, which, Green obviously is. Then there's Sarong, who, new recruit for me against West Coast. Probably you'd have to go captaincy option there. You could probably do a VC. If you have Goulden, if you wanted to do that, you could go Sarong into Goulden. Sheasel's going from strength to strength as well, so could he potentially be a left field captaincy option if you go Sarong VC into Sheasel captain in the last game against the Hawks? And then of course there's Heaney as well in the second last game against Gold Coast. Helps as well that we've got Gorn on the bye. I was going to say Naismith, but Gorn as well. So we can really put the captaincy on any player leading in to the last game. So, obviously lockout in the last game. So could we do it? There's a 3-hour turnaround with Heaney. But I'd need to put the captaincy on Heaney more than anything. Has he scored against Gold Coast previously? 102-71-75. I'd much prefer to put it on a player. And that's the other thing as well. Nick Dacos may get the Willem tag as well. So don't think I'll be putting the VC or the C on him. Tookie Miller against Sydney. It'd need to be a captaincy option. No, don't think I'll go there. This is a real tough one as well. The other thing is as well, if Hodor Darcy doesn't play and Luke Jackson plays as sole ruck against Williams, he could be in for a big game as well. Scored a 124, 98, and a 99. Maybe we just back in LeBont as El Capitano to bounce back. Because he will. You can't keep a champion down. Look at this. He scored in his previous three. 125, 181, and a 159. Yep, that speaks for itself. LeBont is the Le VC. And I think we might go Sarong potentially as our captain. And stick with that for now. That's pretty much it, I think. That's my team, ladies and gents. So if you have any questions, comments, as usual, let us know in the comment section down below here on YouTube. Or if you are listening to us via, podcast, through the ears, through the ear holes, as they say, the technical term. You can slide into our DMs via Twitter, which is at supercoach_edge. And always happy to answer any questions, queries that you may have. Let us know in the comment section as well how you went. Always keen to hear how you went and what your trade thoughts are and who you're targeting as well. Always good to see and bounce off some alternative ideas as well. But that's virtually it, ladies and gents. I'm pretty happy with my team and how it's looking at the moment. Obviously, the three primos in defense, Dacos is the floating defender midfield at the moment. But if we count Dacos in the midfield, so there's three in defense. There's one, two, three. There's Bont, Green, Sarong, Steele, Miller, and Dacos in the middle. Plus Martin, that's potentially seven. Then Gorn, it's definitely one. Jackson, I'm counting as a keeper in the forward line. Then Heaney, Flanders, Powell, I'm counting as a keeper as well. We're in a pretty good shape at the moment with our planning And with 102.8K in the kit, it does mean that we do enter from now on, like we did last year as well, a bit of trading cadence where we're paying it forward almost because we've got cash in the bank that we can then invest already into our next upgrade. So super, super happy with that. And yeah, that's virtually it. To round us out, of course, if you haven't subscribed to us, give us a sub. Much appreciated as always. Really do appreciate the support because off the back of that, we can kind of work out if you're enjoying our content, if you're consuming it, first and foremost. But if you are enjoying it as well, that's the big barometer there. And if you are listening to us on Spotify, of course, don't forget to give us a rating. Obviously, helps us push the podcast up the rankings in terms of search optimization, all that sort of stuff. You know what it's like, back end stuff. And then the Apple podcast as well. Feel free to give us a rating on there. But ladies and gents, that is it. That rounds us out for the end of this team talk. Any questions, comments, as always, let us know. But until next time, we'll catch you in the full episode coming this week, which will drop on Tuesday or Wednesday. So we'll catch you then. Cheers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.